arkanız. Arkanızda kapla.
कोई मिनट तो नहीं है, ट्राई रहे थी। ठीक जी, औज़ु बिल्लाह मिन शैतान रजीम, बिस्मिल्लाह रहमान रहीम, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह रब्बिल आलमीन, वस्सलातु वस्सलामु अला सय्यिदिना व नबीना मुहम्मद व आलिहि ताहिरीन, व लअनतु अला अअदाइहिम अजमईन। We discussed already the mustahaqqatul huruf and the haqqul huruf. And I already told you the difference between mustahaq of a harf and the haqq of a harf. Now today's discussion, we will move forward to ashadda. أو أشد. And the alamat of shadda or shad on top of a harf is like a small W written like this. This is called shad or shadda. And this shows that the harf, the letter upon which this alamat and sign is, this alphabet, this letter is mudha'af plus mudgham plus mukarrar. These are the three things that we learn from the sign. What do we mean by mudha'af? Mudha'af means two letters of the same kind. Whenever you find two letters of the same kind, same type, gathering together, we, in Arabic grammar, we call it mudha'af. Mudgham is derived from the word idgham, and idgham means merging. So mudgham is a letter which is merged. So mukarrar means repeated. So basically what we learn is that there are two letters of the same type used, and those two are of course repeated, I mean one after the other, so it's repeated, and not just that, but it's also merged one into the other. That's what we call idgham. It becomes mudgham. So example of that is, for example, here is a hamza, and then there's a noon, and there's a noon. So we would like there are two noons, two letters of the same type. We merge the first into the second, and that's how we write it like this. Inna. Inna. the law of Shadda. So this sign that we now put on top of the alphabet, this sign is the alamat and sign of Shad or Shadda. That's what we are learning today. And it is important to remember whenever you find there is a Shad or Shadda on top of an alphabet, like here, we have another example, Mukarrar. So it shows that there is the Shadda sign here. So whenever we have this sign, it not only shows that there are two letters of the same kind merged into each other, but also we must remember that according to the law of idgham, merging two letters, the law of idgham says when you are there to merge the first letter into the second, the first letter must always be sakin, and the second letter will have the i'rab, whatever the fatha or the dhamma or the kasra, whatever applicable in the case of the word. But the second, first alphabet has to be sakin always according to the law of idgham, otherwise idgham cannot take place. If the first letter is not sakin, we will make it sakin. So, another example. So we would say as kullun, kullun. Again, you find there's a one lam and another alphabet, another letter of the same type, lam. First, remember, first is sakin here. The second one is mutaharrik. It has a harakat. We do, so these are two letters which are repeated. Plus, these are two letters which are merged one into the other. Plus, two letters are of the same kind. So we merge it into the second, it becomes kullun. Kullun. Another third example, and then we'll move forward. Amma. So I would like you to do this homework at home, inshallah, and write down the breakdown of this ayat of Holy Quran in your houses. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. So wherever you find the shadd or shadda in this ayat, break it down like I wrote here. So I know you have understood the law correctly. The second ayat for the homework. لَإِلَّمْ تنتهوا لنرجمنكم سورة ياسين وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم. I don't remember the surah. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra, I don't remember. I can tell you later on. This is from Surah Yasin. لَإِلْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُ لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So these are two ayats that you do it for the homework. You have to write down the breakdown of those places where there is the shad or shadda, and this is alamat of shad and shadda, small w. So wherever is the shad and shadda used in these ayat, you have to write down the breakdown like this. So like inna, so we make the first one is always sakin, the second one has the i'rab. So you break down the two similar alphabet, make it two, and write down the sukoon on the first and the i'rab on the second. Okay, so this is about the shad. Now let's move on to the law of mad. Okay, now we'll move to the law of mad. Mad, I told you already in one of the previous lessons in Arabic, almost every word has two meanings. Al-ma'na al-lughawi and al-ma'na al-istilahi, lughatan and istilahan, the literal meaning and the technical meaning of the word. The literal meaning of the word mad means to stretch anything, to stretch anything. Istilahan, it means as-sawtun natij الصوت الناتج من الحركات الطويلة. A sawt nat is the voice which is produced from the harakat tawila, the prolonged harakat. Prolonged harakat. And we will learn it very soon. And the alamat of mad in Arabic is like a stretched alif written like this, horizontally. A little bit, sometimes you find a little bit like this as well. So this is the alamat written on top of the letter. When you find that alamat on top of the letter, a vertical, something similar to alif, not exactly, But that is the alamat of mad. So, examples. Ma'an. Okay, ma'an. So the example is here. Here is the alif. This is harakatun tawila. It's an alif is always sakin in Arabic, we learned already. Before that, it has to be a fatha always in the Arabic grammar. You can never find a single word in Arabic where there is an alif and before that it's not a fatha. There has to be a fatha, otherwise you cannot pronounce Arabic, alif in Arabic. So alif is always sakin, it always has a fatha before it. So now whenever alif, so it's, in this case when it is a harakatun tawila, it's a stretched voice, it's a long, elongated voice. And so this is an example of alif. The example of ya, ji'a bi jahannama. This is from Holy Quran. This is from Holy Quran. Ji'a. So this example of ya. We have alamat of mad. Ya is sakin. Before that there's a kasra. And we put the sign of mad on top of it. Example of waw is su'an. That's the mad. This again a stretched waw. So waw which is sakin, before that is a dhamma. So here also the law of mad applies and we stretch it. Now mad is of two types in Arabic. One is maddun lazim and the other one is maddun ghairu lazim. Maddun ghairu lazim. Two types of mad. The difference of these two mad is that if it is maddun ghairu lazim, even if you don't stretch your voice, it's okay. In maddun lazim, if you don't stretch, it's not okay. You have to stretch your voice because this is lazim. Lazim means compulsory. Ghair lazim means non-compulsory. So maddun lazim, you have to stretch your voice. Maddun ghairu lazim, it is not compulsory. So the difference between maddun lazim and ghairu lazim is here. If three conditions are met, a mad becomes lazim. Three shurut and conditions must be met before we can call a mad to be madde lazim. The condition number one. Ho gaya time abhi? Ya nahi hua abhi? Ho gaya? Okay, then we'll continue after. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Yeah, I was talking about, is it ready? Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I was talking about the three shurut for mad, madde lazim, the compulsory stretching of the voice. The first shart is that first of the two letters must be harful mad. So here is the example, for instance, sorry, not the second of the two letters. The second of the two letters has to be harful mad. So we have this jeem, and the second one is ya in this case. So this ya is harful mad. Here, these are the two, alif and the meem. So this alif is harful mad. Here in this case, waw and seen. So waw is harful mad. The second of the two letters has to be harful mad. What is harful mad? Waw, and before that it has to be a dhamma. Ya, and before that it has to be a kasra. And alif, and before that it's always a fatha. If that is the case, this is called harful mad. And if you have waw, and before that it's not a dhamma, it may be a fatha, for example, but it's not a dhamma, or there is a ya, and it's not a kasra, maybe it's a fatha. For example, alif can never have anything other than a fatha before it, so that's out of question. But if you have any ya before that, it is not a kasra. Instead, let's suppose it's a fatha. It's not a kasra. And waw, before that, it is not a dhamma, then it is called harful leen. In Arabic. Okay? So harful mad is when waw is there, sakin, and before that there is a dhamma. Ya is sakin, and before that there is a kasra. So if waw is sakin, but before that it is not a dhamma, then it is harful leen. And if ya is a sakin and before that it's not a kasra, then it is harful leen. So harful mad, it is called harful mad. This waw and ya and alif is called harful mad only when waw is sakin and before that there is a dhamma, and ya is sakin and before that there is a harmonious i'rab, kasra. And alif always has a harmonious i'rab before it, which is a fatha. So the first shart among the three conditions to make a letter a mad, a maddilazim, a compulsory mad, is that the second of the two letters must be harful mad. The second condition is that after harful mad, there has to be a hamza. After harful mad, there has to be a hamza to make it madde lazim. Here in this case, we find there is a hamza. After harful mad, which is alif, there is a hamza. Again, after harful mad, which is ya here, there is a hamza. Whenever hamza is written on top of a ya, it is always a hamza. It is not ya. That's the rasmul khat of Arabic. We have a ilm of rasmul khat, how to write down the words of the Arabic. According to the ilm of rasmul khat, hamza is written, in some cases it is written on top of a ya, in some cases it is written on top of a waw, in some cases it is written on top of an alif, in some cases. So that's ilm of rasmul khat. So whenever you find there is a hamza written on top of ya, it is not ya, it is hamza. Whenever you find a hamza written on top of a waw, it is not waw, it's a hamza. So the second, after harful mad, there has to be a hamza. So here, after harful mad, which is ya, there is a hamza. After harful mad, which is alif, there is a hamza. After harful mad, which is waw, there is a hamza. Okay? So the second condition is also met in these three examples to make it the madde lazim, the compulsory stretch. And the third and the last condition to make it the compulsory mad, madde lazim, is that both that means both means the harful mad plus the hamza, both must be part of one word. Part of one word, not two. If these conditions are met, then the mard is called madde lazim in Arabic, and it is compulsory to stretch your voice minimum equal to stretch. The amount of stretching is equal to 2 alif or 2 waw or 2 ya. And the way they do it and they practice it in ilmu tajweed is you fold your fingers. That's the way they practice. Ma, right there. Ma, ma, ma. Just like in the driving, we have, they say 1001, 1002 principle. I don't know if you happen to, I gave my driving test in Chicago, and that's what they say in the state of Illinois, you know, that as far as I recall, that's what they taught us. You know, there's a 1001 and 1002 principle. So if you want to find out whether your distance with the next car is safe, then you spot that, you take that spot where the car is right now in your eyes and start reading 1001, 1002. So by the time you say 1002, you have to reach at that same spot where the next car was. That will prove that your distance is safe. But if you reach that spot sooner than you finish 1001, 1002, that means your distance is not safe. You have to keep a farther distance from the car. You have to count it like this, you know, it's a 2-second principle. They call it a 2-second principle. So here we have a 2 harful mad principle. 2 alif or 2 waw or 2 ya principle. We count it like stretching our, folding our fingers. Ma, ma, ji, ji, ah, ji, ah, like this. So, you know, that's how they practice. So both are part, so this is make how much we need to stretch. So in the ma a ji a su a, okay, so stressing equal to 2 alif or 2 waw or 2 ya. If any of these three conditions is not met, then the mad is called ghair lazim, non-compulsory mad, and then it's not wajib. It's not wajib. I'm not talking about from the fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence perspective. I'm talking from the perspective of ilmu tajweed. It is not wajib according to ilmu tajweed to stretch your voice. It is good if you stretch, but it's not wajib. So, examples. Examples. Let me first give you the example of madde lazim with all these three conditions being met. So we have these three examples of madde lazim. All three are madde lazim. So let's go to the condition number one. Second of the two letters must be harful mad. So here, mad is applying in these two letters. The law of mad is applying here. This is the letter number one, this is letter number two. So the second letter is harful mad. It's alif, and before that is a fatha. So that's called harful mad. Alif, and before that there's a fatha. Okay? So the example is there. First condition is met. Second one, after harful mad, there has to be a hamza. After the harful mad, which is alif, there is a hamza. Second condition is also met. Third one, both harful mad and hamza, harful mad and hamza, must be part of one word. So this is one word. It's not two words. It's not two words. These are not two different words, that this is a different word and this is a different word. It's not like this. Okay? So it becomes harf madde lazim. That's a compulsory stretch equal to minimum 2 alif. Likewise, ji'a is also a compulsory stretch, madde lazim. Su'a is also a compulsory stretch, madde lazim. Examples of madde ghair lazim, a non-compulsory stretch. Okay, let's go to the examples of non-compulsory stretch, like ba-leen. Let's see whether it is madde lazim or non-lazim. Let's go by these three conditions. The second of the two letters must be harful mad. Where is the mud applying? Mud is applying here. These are the two letters. Vad, letter number one. Alif, letter number two. Okay? First of the two has to be harful mud. It is alif, which is harful mud. Why? Because there's an alif and before that there's a fatha. Isn't that right? So it's harful mud. Alif and before that there's a fatha. Second condition, after harful mud there has to be a hamza. Is the second condition met? No, because after harful mud, which is alif, it's not a hamza. It's a lam with a shad on it. It's not a hamza. So the second condition is not met. Both harful mud and hamza must be part of the same one word. Simply, it's not going to apply here. So it's not madde lazim. If somebody does not stretch his voice here, it's okay. It's good to stretch, but it's not compulsory, according to ilmu tajweed, to stretch, because this is madde ghair lazim, non-compulsory stretch. Example number two of non-compulsory stretch. Kaf. Where do we say kaf like this? Can any one of you let me know? Where do we say kaf like this? Okay. No. We say this kind of pronunciation in huruful muqatta'at, which we are about to study in very soon, inshallah. Huruful muqatta'at and the law of ilmu tajweed, how do we pronounce huruf al-muqatta'at. For example, kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad. Here, when you pronounce it, they always put a mud on top of kaf, and then on the ayn, and then on the sad. But there is no mud on ha, and there is no mud on ya, because of the principle. We will learn it when we reach there. So basically, kaf has a mud. So where this is how we write it, kaf. So here, alif is the first. Let's see whether it's madde lazim or not. Second of the two letters must be harful mad. Second one is alif. It is harful mad. Alif, and before that, there's a fatha. Okay? After harful mad, there has to be a hamza. There is no hamza here. It is kaf. This is fa. Okay? The second condition is not met. Third, both harful mad and hamza must be part of the same word. There is no hamza. It doesn't apply. So this is madde ghair lazim. If somebody doesn't stretch, it's still okay. But it's better to stretch, but not lazim, not compulsory. Third example is ma adri. I don't know. Ma adri in Arabic means I don't know. So let's see whether this is the case of mud. Is it madde lazim, compulsory mud or non-compulsory mud? Okay, let's go to the three conditions. The second of the two letters must be harful mud. These are the two letters where the mud is applying. So the second of the two is alif. It is harful mud. You know, after harful mud there has to be a hamza. After harful mud, which is alif, there is a hamza. Yes, the second condition is also applying. Third, both harful mud and hamza must be part of one word. This is one word and this is the second word. These two are not part of one word. This is a different word in Arabic, adri, I know, and this is a different word, ma, which means not. And I don't know. So these are two different words. So this third condition doesn't apply. So that's why this mud of ma adri is a non-lazim, non-compulsory mud. Okay, one example from the Holy Quran. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ما Okay? Now here, my question to you, Shifa'un wa rahmatul lil mu'mineen. Is this madde lazim or non-lazim? If somebody of you knows, please raise your hand. Madde lazim, why? Why is it madde lazim? Cannot be on fa, it has to be on harf al mad always.
So the second is on the.
Let's start applying the three conditions one by one. The first of the two alphabets which are connected to mad, which are the two alphabet connected to mad? These are the two ones, fa and alif. The second of the two has to be harf al mad. What is the second one? Alif. Is it harf al mad? Alif and a fatha before it. Is there alif and a fatha before it? Okay, the first condition is met. Let's go to the second. After harf al-mad, there has to be a hamza. Is there a hamza? Okay, the third condition. Two are part of one word. Are they part of one word? Yes, so it is madde lazim. It is compulsory mad. One last example and I will end today's lesson. A very common word that we all find in Arabic and in Quran as well. Ha-ula-i. Now, this is one of the very tricky questions in Arabic. So, okay, let's analyze the second one first. Are the three conditions met? The second of the two letters must be harf al-mad. Which are the two letters? Lam and alif. Lam and alif. The second one is alif. Is it harf al-mad? Yes, it's an alif. And before that, there's a fatha, which is harmonious to alif. There's a full vowel and there's the half vowel. It's harmonious with each other. Second condition, after harf al-mad, there has to be a hamza. There is a hamza after harf al-mad. So the second condition is also met. Third one, both are part, hamza and harf al-mad are part of the same one word. So are these two part of the same word? Yes, so this one is madde lazim and compulsory stretching. Now let's go to this one. So here we have alif. A small alif in Arabic is equal to the regular alif. When we write Musa, for instance, Musa, it is not Musi. Some people say it Musi. Musi in Arabic means a razor. So don't call it Musi. Musi in Arabic language means a razor. It's not Musi. The name of the Prophet was Musa. So Musa. So this small alif of Musa or Isa or Tuba, Yahya, these words. Small alif is just like the regular big alif. There is no difference. Why is it written like this? Because of some grammatical background, which of course is not relevant to you to go in those details. But what is relevant to you is remember that the small alif is always equal to the regular big alif. Okay, there is no difference. Okay, so here is a small alif. It's always equal to the regular big alif. So here, let's go by three conditions. Second of the two must be harf al-mad. Second, what are the two? Alif and ha. So here the second is alif, and the before that is a synchronous, harmonious i'rab, which is fatha. So it is harf al-mad. Second, after harful mad there has to be a hamza. There is a hamza after it. Okay? I already told you if the hamza is written on top of a vowel or a ya, it is hamza. It is not ya or it is not vowel. It is a hamza. It's written like that. It's a hamza. There is a special reason why it is written like this. So it is a hamza. Third condition, both harful mad and hamza must be part of one word. So they are part of one word. Is that right?
Yes.
So is it madde lazim?
Yes.
No, it is not part of one word. Because this ha in Arabic is a different thing which is added on the word. Ula'i. That's the word in Arabic. But this ha is added, you know, this ha is added on top of the word. This is an external ha which is added on top of the word. Okay? So this is not part of the word. But this is why you don't know, because you don't know the Arabic grammar and you don't know the history of all the words and how they are derived in Arabic language. That's why we always say to the students of Ilm al-Tajweed that if you don't know, if you are in doubt, don't consider it to be madde ghair lazim, non-lazim mad. Always consider it to be madde lazim. That's the safer side, and there's nothing wrong to stretch it, because sometimes you don't know whether it is part of the word or not, and you don't have the ways and tools and means to discover about every single word because you don't know the language. So you, as an external, as a person who doesn't speak Arabic as a mother tongue, or haven't learned the Arabic language, so you don't have the tools to discover whether which word is part of it and part of what word or not. So that's why the safer side, consider every mad to be madde, treat every mad to be madde as madde lazim, compulsory mad. There's nothing wrong with that. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على